lurking among the trees, following and dodging the quick, faint wehrlights. Then, as autumn came, they set to their tasks afresh, practicing new magic. So Ged's first months at Roke went by fast, full of passions and wonders. In winter, it was different. He was sent with 7 other boys across Roke Island to the farthest northmost cape, where stands the Isolate Tower. There by himself lived the Master Namer, who was called by a name that had no meaning in any language, Kurum Karmaruk. No farm or dwelling lay within miles of the tower, and grim it stood above the northern cliffs, gray with the clouds over the seas of winter, endless the lists and ranks and rounds of names that the Namer's 8 pupils must learn. Amongst them in the tower's high room, Kurum Karmaruk sat on a high seat, writing down lists of names that must be learned before the ink faded at midnight, leaving the parchment blank again. It was cold and half dark and always silent there, except for the scratching of the master's pen and the sighing, maybe, of a student who must learn before midnight the name of every cape, point, bay, sound, inlet, channel, harbor, shallows, reef, and rock of the shores of Lassau, a little island of the Pelnish Sea. If the student complained, the master might say nothing but lengthen the list, or he might say, "He who would be sea master must know the true name of every drop of water in the sea." Ged sighed sometimes, but he didn't complain. He saw that in this dusty and fathomless matter of learning the true name of every place, thing, and being, the power he wanted lay like a jewel at the bottom of a dry well. For magic consists in this, the true naming of a thing. So Kurum Karmaruk had said to them once, their first night in the tower, and he never repeated it. But Ged did not forget his words. "Many a mage of great power," he had said, "has spent his whole life to find out the name of one single thing, one single lost or hidden name, and still the lists are not finished, nor will they be till world's end. Listen, and you will see why. In the world under the sun, and in the other world that has no sun, there is much that has nothing to do with men and men's speech, and there are powers beyond our power. But magic, true magic, is worked only by those beings who speak the Hardic tongue of Earthsea, or the old speech from which it grew. That is the language dragons speak, and the language Sigoi spoke who made the islands of the world, and the language of our lays and songs, spells, enchantments, and invocations. Its words lie hidden and changed among our Hardic words. We call the Foman waves Sukayin, and that word is made from 2 words of the old speech, Suk, feather, and Inayin, the sea. Feather of the sea is foam. But you cannot charm the foam calling it Sukayin. You must use its own true name in the old speech, which is Issa. Any witch knows a few of these words in the old speech, and a mage knows many. But there are many more, and some have been lost over the ages, and some have been hidden, and some are known only to dragons, and to the old powers of earth, and some are known to no living creature, and no man could learn them all, for there is no end to that language. And here is the reason. The sea's name is Inayin, well and good, but what we call the inmost sea has its own name also in the old speech. And since no thing can have 2 true names, Inayin can mean only all the sea except the inmost sea. And of course it does not mean even that, for there are seas and bays and straits beyond counting that bear names of their own. So if some mage seamaster were mad enough to try to lay a spell of storm or calm over all the ocean, his spell must say not only that word, Inayin, but the name of every stretch and bit and part of the sea through all the archipelago and all the outer reaches and beyond to where names cease. Thus, that which gives us the power to work magic sets the limits of that power. A mage can control only what is near him, what he can name exactly and wholly. and this is well. If it were not so, the wickedness of the powerful or the folly of the wise would long ago have sought to change what cannot be changed, and equilibrium would fail. The unbalanced sea would overwhelm the islands where we perilously dwell, and in the old silence all voices and all names would be lost. Ged thought long on these words, and they went deep in his understanding. Yet the majesty of the task could not make the work of that long year in the tower less hard and dry. And at the end of the year, Kurram Karmaruk said to him, "You have made a good beginning, but no more. Wizards speak truth," and it was true that all the mastery of names that Ged had toiled to win that year was the mere start of what he must go on learning all his life. He was let go from the Isolate Tower sooner than those who had come with him, for he had learned quicker. But that was all the praise he got.